What's good, everybody? We're here to preview the Stanley Cup playoffs from a betting perspective. NHL Action Network collab, Pete Jensen, Nick Alberga, Michael Leboff. What's going on, Nick?
Not too much, Pete. Man, oh man, I am jacked. I'm excited. I'm ready to go for the Stanley Cup playoffs, and I'm ready to bring in today's guest and one of our feature co-hosts on the show this year. It is Michael Leboff sporting in his Islanders hat. You are pumped up, I can see.
Yeah, yeah, it's the playoffs for the NHL, for everybody else, or the rest of the league, but it's been the playoffs for the Islanders since the All-Star break, so it's been a little bit of a relaxing weekend, so pretty pumped on to be invited to the dance.
Mike is the king of plus number strategies, underdog plays in the Stanley Cup playoffs. There are a bunch of them. There's the New York Islanders, right? There's the Winnipeg Jets. Those are the two that jump out to me that have realistic chances to win their series given circumstances surrounding their opponents. So I got to ask you right off the top, which one do you like better based on the number and based on everything you've seen this regular season?
Yeah, those are the two that jump out right away to me too. I would say the Islanders just because of the price, like they're 20 cents higher than Winnipeg. And I look at both of these series pretty similarly. The Islanders and Jets both have a distinct goaltending advantage over their opponent. And when you look at Carolina and New York, what they don't do well is pretty similar. They're scoring by committee. Their power plays aren't great. The Islanders are going to get into the playoffs with the 31st best power play in a 32-team league. But they're not going up against a team like the Rangers or the Maple Leafs or the Lightning, where that power play advantage will be on paper pretty wide. So I think the fact that those flaws that the Islanders have are muted against Carolina makes it a little bit closer to a coin flip than maybe the odds suggest. That said, I think you could probably wait on the Carolina Islanders number a little bit and maybe see if this number ticks up a little further. The first sports book that put them up last night opened the Islanders at plus 150. It shot up pretty quickly to 165. So I think we might see some folks still come in on Carolina. Whereas I think Winnipeg is going to be a sharp side. I think that they're going to get a lot of betting support because of the way that they went down the stretch and the matchup they have against Vegas. Like that goaltending edge is massive. I think in my mind, like I think what Vegas is going to go into the playoffs with, whether it's Laurent Boisois, who's, you know, as good looking as they come and had a pretty good year. And then, you know, Jonathan Quick, who's more pedigree than actually performance this season. Like you're betting on an unknown against Connor Hellebuyck, who, remember the bubble against not the bubble, but like the shortened season against Edmonton when they played that North Division, where he won that series on his own. And not only did he win it, it was a sweep. Like, so this guy can, he's done it before, he can do it again. And the gap is pretty wide, I think, between these goalies. So, those are the two underdogs, I think, that jumped off the page right away to me, too.
I love the revenge narrative, and I love Laurent Boisois taking on the Winnipeg Jets, but I'm with you. I'm feeling probably Winnipeg in that series, and I see the value in that series. A question just came to my head as we had this conversation. What series has the highest total to start, and what series has the lowest total to start? Like, what kind of numbers and variations will we see between 5.5s and 6s? Do we see a 7 to start?
Yeah, in terms of, like, their game-by-game scoring totals? It'll be... I think you're going to see that Rangers-Devils series will be really interesting. If you remember last year, the Rangers played some playoff games with a lot of 5.5s and some even got down to 5 by the time the puck dropped because of the way Shesterkin was playing and the way the Rangers were playing as well. And that Hurricane series comes to mind. So, but then you got the Devils on the other side. So whether those two things kind of balance out will be interesting. Depending on what kind of form we see out of Jonas Korpisalo in game 1 and 2 in that Oilers King series, that one definitely could see a 7 come up there. I think Vegas and Winnipeg will be low totals. The Islanders and Hurricanes, that is probably going to be where you see the 5.5s and maybe even a 5 if we get to like a game 6 or 7 when books automatically adjust things down.
So when you look at some of the metrics that translate well to the betting market, I mean, certainly to win a series, when you have home ice and you're an elite road team, you could make the case for two different teams out there. New Jersey Devils, second best road record in the NHL this season, and Vegas, third best road record in the NHL this season. Not something that maybe an average fan would realize that those two teams have been so elite in that regard. But what do you look for? Do you look at the possession dominance? Do you look at PDO? Do you look at road records? Like, what's your favorite metric to help decide a series in your mind when you're making a bet?
Yeah, I always say that playoff series are much more, it's a lot more raw handicapping than it is during the regular season when you're getting such a bigger sample size. This, at this time of year, it's much more like breaking down a boxing match, and stylistic advantages come into play a lot. So for the Rangers, I think that had they played Carolina, I think New York would likely be around, you know, actually maybe be favored in the series, like a 115, very short favorite. But I think that they would have a really distinct advantage over Carolina with the way they play. They don't mind Carolina just pumping a ton of rubber at their goaltender and mm-hmm. owning those possession numbers, like you say, and then they'll beat you on the rush. They'll be clinical and win on the power play and with their goaltending play. But against the Devils, you can't really do that. So what I do is I try to take those metrics. What does this team do well? What is this, the team they're going up against, do well, and see how they fit. So with we'll stay with that Devils Rangers series. These are two teams that really thrive off the rush, but the Rangers don't defend the rush as well as they should, I guess, as a Stanley Cup contender. So when you're playing against a team that really dominates and is so quick, you turn the puck over against the Devils, no matter where it is on the ice, you're going to get 4-on-2'd going the other way really quickly. And that is a stylistic flaw for the Rangers. So then they're going to have to lean on this power play to make up for that. They're going to have to lean on their goaltending advantage, which of course is there. But I would be a little bit more concerned about this matchup than I would have been from a Rangers perspective if they were playing Carolina. And then if we flip it to Tampa and Toronto, it's a similar situation where what the Leafs want to do, which is win games with their, you know, elite talent and their power play. Those things kind of get muted against Tampa Bay. Tampa Bay's got a great power play. Tampa Bay's got terrific, you know, top end guys. So it's going to come down to which goal it can Ilya Samsonov, he doesn't have to beat Andrei Vasilevskiy, but he's just got to be able to be good enough where Andrei Vasilevskiy isn't the biggest difference in the series. And he's proven that he probably can do that. Whether that translates to the playoffs, I have concerns for game one because he'll be off for so long. And then all of a sudden you're putting Toronto down 1-0 if in a pressure cooker situation, which is a little concerning and one of the angles I kind of like in that series. But where do the advantages actually show up in a matchup when you're playing the same team over and over again? And where do they go away? And Toronto's power play advantage kind of goes away because Tampa can respond with their own. And the fact that they usually have the best 4 or 5 forwards on the ice every night, that kind of goes away too, because with Kucherov, points, Stamkos, et cetera, the Lightning have that same thing going. So you look at the metrics, you take it. Okay, they tell you what these teams are good at, what they try to do, what their profile is, and then you mesh them together with their opponent. It's the same opponent every night. So that those teams should continue to do what they do well, and continue to do what they don't do well, not well as well. And how they kind of mesh in a best of seven series is how I kind of come to my conclusions on where to bet.
So a better, I'm always constantly looking for value, and Pete, we can start with you when it comes to Stanley Cup futures. And we've been poking around on this for all season. Now we're a couple of days away from the Stanley Cup playoffs. It'll eventually get underway and the prices will change, but the Boston Bruins unsurprisingly open around +370. You got Colorado trying to repeat at +700, the Leafs at +900, Oilers +1000, the Devils at +1100. The Rangers at +1200. Who are some teams you're looking at for some value here, Pete, when trying to lay some coin on a futures look?
I said it on the fantasy show. I'm really high on the Dallas Stars. I think that the combination of past playoff success for guys like Haskinen and Ben and Sagan, and then complemented by the new blood, Ottinger and Jason Robertson, Roope Hintz. I mean, I don't even think Hintz was on that 2020 team, and if he was, he was not in a prominent role. I mean, this team has the best top line in the entire NHL over the past three seasons, Mike, and I don't feel like they're being viewed as a top five Stanley Cup contender because the Eastern Conference is so loaded and strong. We've been talking about it all season on the Action Network collabs, right? The value may lie in the West because these teams in the East might beat the hell out of each other, and I feel like Dallas is one of those teams that is also most likely, maybe of any other team in the West, to beat Colorado in a 7-game series. I don't know that anybody else is going to be able to do that, even including Edmonton with their addition of Ekholm and stuff like that. I still think if the Avs are remotely healthy, they're going to be a really tough out.
Yeah, the Stars, I wonder where this number could go, if depending on how things shake out, but they're a solid team. You know what to expect out of them. You're going to rely on Jake Oettinger. And I think that there's some legitimate questions to ask about the Minnesota Wild just as a group going into the playoffs. So the fact that they're a little weaker than I think people had expected them to be a few weeks ago means that the path is a little bit lighter than it looked for whether it's Dallas, Colorado, whoever comes out of that central bracket. So the Stars are interesting. I think you can definitely circle them. I have the Jets still circled as a big number. You can maybe get a better price if you do a rolling parlay, which is just bet the series money line, then take that stake that you originally did and put it with your winnings and keep going. And that gives you the opportunity to cash out as well. So the Jets are still interesting to me because the goaltending is there. Like the Islanders, I think that the Jets are a team that, you know, the old adage is just there are some teams that get you there, and then there are other teams that will get you through. And the Jets, to me, like the Islanders, are a team that will get you through the playoffs. They're built for this. They're physical. They could score. They've got the goalie. We'll see how they do it. And hey, Rick Bonus, man, like he's got experience guiding teams through the ups and downs of a playoff race. So I don't mind a look on the Jets if you're looking for a bigger price.
Lieboff, how would you attack the Boston Bruins? Obviously, it's been an impeccable season. Unfair or not, it's easy to draw comparisons to that season for the Tampa Bay Lightning a couple of years ago. They go in as juggernauts and they get swept by the Columbus Blue Jackets. From a game-by-game basis, how would you attack the Boston Bruins? Would you look at the puck line, the money line, the over? They're playing the Florida Panthers, arguably one of the hottest teams going into the postseason, right?
Yeah, I would. If you're looking to bet on the Bruins, I would see if maybe they drop one of the first two in the series and then look to get in. If you're trying to find an angle in on Boston, but I fear I'm going to be betting against them a lot here in this series and it probably won't go well. I had a bet on Montreal last night. I mean, this crazy thing about this team is I just thought they'd take their foot off the pedal after they rewrote the records and they didn't. I guess they did to some extent, but they didn't lose. So I've been getting them wrong basically all season and I'll probably continue to do so because the prices are going to be outrageous. And I guess I was actually a little surprised with that. I thought they were going to open up a little bit wider. I think if they caught the Islanders, they would have been around like -380, but Florida's got a high ceiling. We know that they can give you trouble. So keep an eye on the Panthers on a game-to-game basis as well. Like this is a team that should be able to pluck a game or two from Boston and maybe more.
I think Florida could definitely win one of the first two in Boston. And it opens up an interesting scenario when you look at their chances of pulling this massive upset. We saw it a couple of years ago when Columbus was a massive underdog against Tampa Bay, one of the best teams of all time. And then it was a reverse sweep, something no one could have ever imagined. It seems like through the years, there's always some reverse sweep that nobody really saw coming. So maybe that's one of those outlandish bets that I don't know if you could put your finger on anything, Mike, but curious to hear your thoughts on that. Could anybody get swept in the first round? But really, when you look at Florida and their offense, and they played the Boston Bruins well in the regular season. How many teams split a season series with the Boston Bruins? Not very many, and I don't even need to look it up.
Right. That's always something to do before the playoffs is you want to listen to everybody you can and hear that what the narratives are going to be driving, whether it's the Toronto-Tampa series, Boston-Florida. People are going to be saying, okay, Toronto-Tampa, this is going to be a nail biter, game six or game seven probably, and we'll see if the Leafs can get through it. To me, that means automatically you're going to find value going the other way. Whether you win or not, that's one thing, but betting on a shorter series in a series like that that's expected to be a grind is always going to provide you value. So whether you want to bet, you know, Toronto sweep or you want to bet Tampa to win by like a game and a half or -2.5, I think those are interesting numbers. And then like you said, Pete, like if you do think that Boston is vulnerable in this matchup against Florida, it does make sense from a value perspective and a plus expected values perspective to bet Florida to win, you know, for like a sprinkle on 4-0 or 4-1, because if it hits, it's nobody else is going to be betting it. That number is going to be crazy when they start posting it. So if you believe in them, you know, chase a price. Don't bet, you know, obviously you got to be responsible and you should maybe back up that little stake with the bet on Florida to win the series. But it does make sense, like just from a value perspective, to go against the grain, because those numbers are always going to be where you're going to find the best value in the NHL playoffs.
Since you referenced it, how will you attack that Toronto-Tampa series? They go to seven games last year. The Leafs had them on the ropes. They've had so many opponents on the ropes. They have won a playoff series since 2004. They come in as the favorite once again in that series.
Yeah, I think this is going to be interesting. I kind of alluded to it. I think Tampa's going to be worth a bet in game one because I don't trust Ilya Samsonov off of this kind of rest. And plus, he's resting because he's banged up. Like they alluded to it, right? Like. Yeah. Who knows what the issue is? And
body.
Yeah. And what does that mean? Do we know anything? No, not really. Right. So, and they're going to go to him, right? They're not going to go to Joseph Woll game one, unless something truly bonkers happens, even though he's looked all right. But, you do trust him coming off a week plus where he's dealing with something compared to Andrei Vasilevskiy off of, you know, a little bit under a week or a week of rest. You would trust Vasilevskiy, and I know he's had a reputation to start playoff series slow, but in terms of these two goaltenders in a vacuum, you're going to go with Vasilevskiy. I think that gives Tampa a decent chance in game one. And if the series price is giving us an indication of what game one will look like, I think we'll know what the price will be around, and they should provide some value. Plus with the way Tampa's looked down the stretch, I think that people are a little sour on them. You know, stop us if you've heard that before, but I do have a pro Toronto bet on this series, and it is my favorite bet on the board, for this matchup, which is, I like Cale Yarncrook. He's 35-1 to lead the series in scoring. He's been getting a lot of time, on that top line. And let's say it is a short series. Let's say Toronto sweeps them, right? Like, what do you need to lead a series in goals if it's four or five game series? Probably not that much. That if the scoring spread around, and if Yarncrook has like 1-2 goal game, all of a sudden you're looking at a pretty good path to success with that kind of bet. So I like Yarncrook a lot in that market to lead the league. Like Michael Bunting's 18-1. So if you put Bunting's name where like Yarncrook is going to play on the actual like line charts, where would his numbers be? And so I think it'd probably be like, what, 11-1? So I think Yarncrook's odds are an outlier here and a good price.
That's an interesting strategy where you kind of can take your fantasy angles and your line trios and kind of make it translate to the betting market where you say, oh, the number is much bigger on, say, like Jake DeBrusk to lead that series in goals as opposed to a Pastrnak or a Marchand or a Bergeron or something like that.
He would Andre be the Palat's fourth. A good one too. He's 55-1. So, make sure to, click around and see, because if, like you said, Pete, you're going to have your own angles for every series. Think about what those angles like correlate to. If it's a Florida to beat Boston, you think you're really bullish on it. Look around, like who does that help? Who does that mean is going to have a big series? Is it going to be Anthony Duclair or whoever it's going to be? You'll find some big numbers if you just lean into what your original handicap is on a series. And if you're right, you can get paid off big time, because not only are you hitting, a series price, but maybe you're hitting a series under 5.5 games and a leading goal scorer prop as well.
When you look at the impact of the trade deadline on different teams, there's so many. And we talked about it on the fantasy show with O'Reilly. I think one of the biggest moves at the deadline is Matthias Ekholm bolstering the back end, like Ekholm versus Tyson Barrie. Even for the good things that Barrie did, that's a huge win for Edmonton, a huge improvement that really I didn't know that they were going to be able to swing at the deadline. And then in the East, when you look at Rangers, Devils, I mean, the spotlight is on Timo Meier and Patrick Kane. Which guy can provide more of an impact? So which is your favorite storyline from a betting lens involving a player and the team ripple effect of a deadline move?
Yeah, so someone like Meier kind of leads into what I was saying about Palat, right? Like Kane's numbers is going to be short. It's going to be way too short to bet in markets, like most points in the series or most goals in a series. He's 18-1 to lead that series in goals. And his true odds are probably a lot higher than that, given what we've seen out of him. And right away that's going to put value on the kind of guys on the peripheral. So like a Kaapo Kakko, for example, would be a Rangers long shot in the most goals in a series market. So like those guys, Ekholm, not of course, is a little different story, but those offensive guys that are going to get the attention because of the way that the media talks about them. Just think about, okay, if they're getting everyone's talking about these guys. Who are the guys that are not being talked about? Because those are the people that aren't going to be bet. And if they're not being bet, the number's going to just keep going up and up and up.
It's interesting from that aspect, too, when you look at a team like the Edmonton Oilers. I, for one, am maybe more bullish than some people on the Oilers, but Pete just mentioned the name Matthias Ekholm. 18-2-1 leadoff since they acquired Matthias Ekholm. Granted, I get it. It's the regular season. But when you look at Edmonton in general, I'm going to look at Ekholm for some props. I'm going to look specifically at Evander Kane for goal props, shot on goal props. He had 13 goals in 15 games last year in the Stanley Cup playoffs, or even more than that. And I think in general, people are going to sleep on that name. What are your thoughts on the Oilers? How would you attack them?
Yeah, the Oilers are, you're definitely not more bullish than a lot of other people now. Like I think a couple of weeks ago, a lot of people were a little skittish around the Oilers, and now everyone's, you know, all in. They're 8-1 to win the Stanley Cup. That number's been halved basically in the last 2 weeks. And Ekholm has made a huge difference. I think, people always say Michael Kempney, that move that the Capitals made was the biggest of that trade deadline, even though nobody knew who he was when he came over. Everybody knew who Matthias Ekholm is, and he's going to probably be the if the Oilers win the trade deadline, the Butch Goring effect, right?
Yeah.
But from a betting perspective, I think the Oilers are just going to be a tad overpriced on a game-to-game basis as a team. But like you said, like think about who the Kings are going to have to game plan for. Spoiler alert, it's going to be Connor McDavid, right? Like, so that means that the guys on around McDavid, the 100-point score, Ryan Nugent-Hopkins, which we all saw coming.
Love that.
Yeah, like guys like him or Kane, if you think that there's, you know, if the McDavid's going to get like double shifted, which he will, even some fourth line guys like someone like a Ryan McLeod or whatever, like these guys can factor in, and you're going to get big prices on anytime goal scorers. And at some point everybody's going to score in the playoffs if you go on a run. So just keep an eye on players like that and see, all right, Jay Woodcroft is really leaning into McDavid and Dreisaitl, and they're just rotating the third guy on that line. Who's someone that's getting an odd shift with him or not. That's how I would attack this team. They're definitely an outlier because of McDavid. So you really want to like pay attention to who is catching those, you know, one or two extra shifts with him.
Mike, another one of your specialties every year when we preview the playoffs, I feel like, is one of those teams that if they end up winning the cup and going all the way, you can pinpoint who their Conn Smythe Trophy most likely winner would be. I think you could say for the Jets, it would probably be Hellebuck. If it was the Islanders, it would probably be Sorokin. If it was the Devils, it would probably be Jack Hughes. But is there more than meets the eye, or is there a team that you're specifically looking at that you can pinpoint the Conn Smythe winner before it happens?
Yeah. Yeah. The most important thing to do before placing a Stanley Cup future is to wait for the Conn Smythe odds to come out on certain teams. So I mentioned the Jets. I think Hellebuck's a great example. Like his odds are going to be high because the Jets are already a long shot to win the Stanley Cup. Unless you're J.S. Chiguerre, you have to win the Stanley Cup to be the Conn Smythe. And that also means that for goaltenders like Sorokin or Hellebuck, there's a chance that if you just get a team to the Stanley Cup final, you do have like an outside chance. We remember the conversation about Carey Price a couple of years ago as well. It comes up. So I think that Sorokin, Hellebuck, Vasilevsky at this point, because of the way that the Lightning are built, I think Vasilevsky would probably be, if Tampa's going to win and let's say they're like, you know, 14-15-1 and Vasilevsky's 40-1 to win the Conn Smythe, I would much rather bet Vasilevsky at that number than Tampa Bay. But Hellebuck and Sorokin are going to be big odds. And if you believe in those teams at all, I think it definitely behooves you to go with their odds in the Conn Smythe market rather than the Cup future odds, because you get a better number. And then there's a couple other guys that I have circled just generally, Conn Smythe, and putting aside that narrative. I think Ilya Samsonov is pretty interesting. Because if the Maple Leafs make a run, it means that he's playing well. So he's going to be, I think when you look at the Leafs, like considering their star power, Matthews is going to be a short number. Marner's going to be a short number. Tavares, Nylander, even like someone like Ryan O'Reilly is going to be a shorter number than him, possibly. So, because he's won it before, I think that Samsonov will probably get ignored in that market. So if you believe in the Leafs, I would say, you know, bet on Samsonov as a Conn Smythe winner is an angle you can use. And for the Bruins, like I would go against the goalie here, because I know Ullmark has been the story the whole year. So, you know, you were asking me about angles to attack the Bruins, and betting them at this price to win the Stanley Cup is way too short. But Patrice Bergeron, if his Conn Smythe odds are double their cup odds, you should just take that number if you're looking to get in the Bruins, because like I don't care what he does, because he's got the Selke narrative already, where it doesn't matter if he put up big numbers production wise in the Stanley Cup playoffs. People will just say, oh, this is a great story. He's probably going out with a cup. Plus, he's the two-way forward. His numbers don't need to show that he dominated to win this award. We'll just give it to him on that reputation alone. So Bergeron, for me, would be another one, an example of that as well.
It really has that last dance feel, doesn't it, to the Boston Bruins. I was just going to ask you just one more on Edmonton. And correct me if this is a stupid take, but if you're looking to place some coin on a Conn Smythe futures, the only guy to bet on in Edmonton's Connor McDavid, right? There's no point in Drysdale. There's no point in Nugent Hopkins, because we all know, like, unless this world's crazy and McDavid, knock on wood, goes down or something, like, if the Oilers win the cup, it's Connor McDavid is winning Conn Smythe, no?
Yes. Yeah. So the Oilers are 8-1 to win the Stanley Cup. If McDavid's plus 801, you take the McDavid odds, because those things are so heavily correlated. If Leon Draisaitl, let's say he scores 38 points in the playoffs and leads the tournament, right? That means Connor McDavid's probably right behind him with 36, and he's Connor McDavid, so he's gonna get the votes. So yeah, barring a Stuart Skinner, you know, 18 shutout performance in the playoffs when you only can win 16 games, I think it's gonna be McDavid if the Oilers do it. So that's another good example of make sure you compare the odds of the cup and the Conn Smythe in instances like that.
Speaking of, you know, Conn Smythe, and I was just looking, I remember at the All-Star game, there's such a great crop of young blood, American born talent in this league right now. Tage Thompson didn't make the playoffs. Maybe that'll be for another day. Jason Robertson, Jack Hughes, Matthew Tkachuk have had outstanding seasons. I don't know that the Panthers would ever go that far. And even if they did, it could be Barkov in a best case scenario, you know, so maybe X him off the list talking about Tkachuk, but I feel like there's some real sleeper appeal, even with how good these guys have been, in Hughes and Robertson. Robertson has not made an impact in the postseason yet, and Jack Hughes has never even played in the postseason. So it's almost like sky's the limit. And if it comes and it happens, we wouldn't really be surprised by it.
Yeah, the numbers kind of show that out with Hughes, right? He's the favorite to lead that series in points ahead of Artemi Panarin, and Mika Zibanejad, and Nico Hischier. And that's another kind of good example of if Hughes is the favorite to lead that series in points, who's playing with him? And if it is a guy like Palat, who's he passing to get those points? So that's why just keep those, you know, third wheels on the lines, in mind in markets like that.
What's your feel on the Los Angeles Kings? Admittedly, I think my stance would be a bit different if I knew, sort of had an update on Kevin Fiala. Last I heard, he had a brace on his knee the other day. Velarde's banged up. I see that price of plus 2,400. That team addressed some needs. They got better defensively in the second half. Love the Korpisalo pickup with Copley as that tandem. I know they're playing a team in Edmonton, but I actually think there's sneaky appeal and upside when you look at the futures of the LA Kings, Leboff.
Yeah, there was a time like 2 or 3 weeks ago where I would have told you that Los Angeles at double the odds was a better bet than Edmonton, when it was, you know, LA was hanging around like 28, 30 to one and Edmonton at 15 to one. But that's kind of changed a little bit. And the Fiala thing is really looming large here without any like indication of him being able to not only play, but it's a grind, right? He's got two more months that he's got to stay healthy for, in physical series. And the Edmonton Oilers are going to know he's banged up even if he plays. So, like, that stuff matters a lot. So I was really high on the Kings a couple weeks ago, and now at a shorter number with the injuries, and now that we know the path has to go through both Edmonton and maybe Vegas, it's a little tougher, considering what we found out about the Oilers with Matthias Ekholm, that this is one of the you know, top four cup contenders, and the bookmakers agree.
So when you look at the first round, I know we still don't know Colorado's matchup, but there's definitely some key injury trends. Like we talked about it, Gabriel Landeskog's not playing at all. Cale Makar has missed recent games. Like, are you worried about the defending champs even getting out of the first round? Some sneaky opponents, right? Whether they play Minnesota or Seattle, no matter which way you slice it, they could be on upset alert with all these injuries.
Yeah, the Landeskog conversation is interesting because, you know, from people talking about him missing the playoffs, I don't know if they, like, he didn't play all season. So it's not like they had him and were playing really well and then he went away. Like, he wasn't here this entire year. So my attitude on Colorado hasn't really changed. I think that them and Edmonton are very much neck and neck as the favorites in the West.
Yeah.
And that Seattle matchup, I think, is really conducive for them. They'll have a huge edge in goal. And I know that the Kraken are a deep team. They can roll four lines with anybody, but the star talent should shine for Colorado. I wouldn't mind a sweep bet in that kind of matchup. And I think, like, even with Minnesota, I'm a little low on the Wild right now. They went on that really hot stretch to get themselves very comfortable in the playoff spot and then challenge for the division. But when you look at those numbers, they were winning a ton of games really tight, and they were getting insane goaltending, like 938 over a 15 game span. That's just not going to stay up that high when you're playing Colorado over and over and over again. So I think that the Avalanche, if the market is sour on them because of Landeskog, it might be an opportunity to actually get in on them and back them in to keep a series short against Seattle, especially.
I know prices are changing even as we speak, but what are some of your favorite first round plays here?
Yeah, I like Winnipeg. I think +140 is a fine number. Because I like Winnipeg to do that if you shop around for them to beat Vegas, like, you know, 4-1 or -1.5, those things obviously will correlate to value. You can get Winnipeg -1.5 at like +250. I think that's a really interesting number as well. I think the Islanders are going to be worth a play as well, especially on a game to game basis. This series to me looks very close to a coin flip when you consider the stylistic kind of way both these teams want to play. And if it's going to be a tight 2-1 game, 3-2 game, I'll take Ilya Sorokin in those games, and maybe it'll be proven wrong. And the Hurricanes have had a lot of success against the Islanders in the regular seasons over the years. Maybe, you know, that just shows up. So I like the Islanders. Like I said, I think I'll probably be on Colorado to keep a series short against Seattle and maybe Minnesota, depending on where those prices come up. And I will be betting the Lightning in game one, and they're, you know, +125 right now. We'll see where that number goes. I just don't like the idea of Ilya Samsonov not playing for quite some time going into his first playoffs start for this team, which is obviously, you know, a ton of pressure. More pressure than basically any spot you can think of in sports right now is starting game one of the first round of the playoffs for the Maple Leafs. So I'm looking that way. And I told you, like, my series goal leaders, I like Palat for the Devils a lot at 55. I like Kale Yarncroft for the Leafs at 35. The Islanders Hurricane series, you should target a huge price. Like, pick a guy. It could be anybody. Like, I don't care who you pick. But just make sure it's like 75-1 or longer, because that series, if the goals are really, really hard to come by, which they likely will be, like, the first total for that game is already out. It's 5.5 and the under's juice to -120. So if there's going to be, let's say, 5 goals on an average in the game, and correlate that to a 6-game series, that's 30 goals total, which means how many are you going to, if you split them, 16 for one team, 14 for the other, how many are you going to need to lead the league, to lead that series in scoring? 4? Anybody can get 4 goals and get hot with 4 goals. Like a player like Brent Burns, or, you know, someone, as long as the price is long, I think you can make an argument for all 40 players involved in that series. Like Hudson Fashing, someone like that. Like,
that's nuts.
Yeah. Like, but if it's, you're going to get a huge number on players like that, and you're just not going to need them to score that much because of how low the actual output should be.
Mike, before we wrap, I have to ask you about taking out the crystal ball, and whether it's the Stanley Cup final matchup or an Eastern Conference final matchup. It's something I always like to try to predict, and I've had a good track record with, and I know a lot of people in the industry have as well. I mean, you could bet Boston, Colorado, Stanley Cup final matchup, which is a matchup, frankly, I'd wanted to see for a few years now, and I feel like is very likely to happen. And it's +1,000 on that number. So, like, really good odds, like, to add another layer to just picking one team. You pick two teams, including a dark horse. Sometimes you could get tremendous odds.
Yeah, that's a probably the, if you like Boston, that's a good way to play them too. Like just pair them with someone else and, you know, parlay the conference futures or if some, if your book offers, like you said, the exact matchup. I think that, the Eastern Conference Finals will, I actually, like, I know I'm an Islander fan, but the Islanders are 20-1 to win the East. And I think that's just too long. I think that them being the biggest long shot, despite not having, like, Florida has to play Boston. And if they upset Boston, they'll have to play Toronto or Tampa. So that's perhaps the two best teams in the entire conference that you're going to have to get through just to get to the conference final. I know the mm-hmm. Metro is deep too, but like I said, I think Islanders have some stylistic things that level the playing field a little bit against Carolina. Who knows? They'll be a big underdog against New Jersey or the Rangers, but we've seen it before with this team. They can make a run. So I think, like, in terms of from a value side, the Islanders, they shouldn't be this long if you're looking at the other teams in the eight. So I don't mind them. I've talked about the Jets. I think, like, an Islanders Oilers parlay, which you can get, you know, close to 100-1, depending on your book. I think 80-1, 100-1 is interesting. Bruins, then if you're going to bet the Bruins, like, bet them, and then you can put them with one of the long shots in the West, like Winnipeg, for example.
And you could also do, Nick, right? You could do Boston to beat Edmonton. Boston, the best team, against, you know, McDavid, the best player, plus 1,700. I like Dallas, Boston to beat Dallas, plus 2,500, and all scenarios that I could really see materialize. Like, if I were to pick, those would be, like, among my five most likely outcomes, and you can get great odds there. Who are you guys both, I guess, if you were to do an early cup final matchup, who would you pinpoint right now? Is that something you're looking at?
Yeah, certainly. And I think you want to get creative at times, but, you know, asking me right now, I'll probably take a couple of days to fill up my bracket leading up to game one of the Stanley Cup playoffs coming up on Monday. But I've been so bullish on them, I'm going to stick with them. It's tough to say and tough to proclaim a Canadian team to finally win the Stanley Cup, but I'm such a believer in Connor McDavid. And the fact that people are already talking about this guy being the best player ever, period. And the fact that he doesn't have a Stanley Cup to his name just yet, he's going to go off. Like, we're going to get that signature moment. So I'm predicting it happens this year. I like the Oilers to come out, obviously, of the Western Conference. I think they're primed for something. And I don't think Colorado is as strong as they were last year. And then you look at the Eastern Conference. For me, it's tough to bet against the Boston Bruins. I know there's this whole curse about President's Trophy winners. Hasn't been done since, what, 2003 or 2013, excuse me, and Chicago. But Boston's still such a well-oiled machine. I love their pickups at the deadline. So I'm going to go with an Edmonton-Boston Stanley Cup final, and I think Edmonton's going to win it, Leboff.
Yeah, just from picking, I think the Oilers come out of the West, and I'll go with the Bruins as well. But like I said, I think the best value is backing in the Islanders in the East, maybe Winnipeg in the West with the Oilers in second. And additionally, like, if you are trying to bet the Oilers too, like, if they go down 1-0 in that first round series, then you can bet them to win the conference as well. You'll get good numbers too. So just because you want to pick a team now and the number looks too short in the playoffs, one loss changes everything. So then you can start to buy back in. And that's an angle I like, but from a picking perspective, it's pretty hard to go against those two teams right now with the way they look. And it would be funny if the Islanders, this, you know, pariah defensive grinded out team, is the one that ruins Connor McDavid's parade in the Stanley Cup final. So kind of dreaming about that scenario.
That would be hilarious. And I just wanted to finish by saying, like, don't overreact. Like, that's a really good point. And you know, even if your team that you pick to go all the way loses the first game, I think you have to have that mindset, that point of view from a betting perspective. Hey, Pete, this is where I can find value, right? I think the problem is everybody overreacts over one game. You have to win four games to win a series, right, Pete?
Right. And I always remember that year that Washington finally broke through the first series. They were down 0-2, right? Mm-hmm. They lost their two home games. So, like, if you see that with a favorite, that's the time to pounce. Mike, thanks so much for hopping on, man. Just let everybody know what you guys are doing at Action Network to preview the playoffs and throughout the postseason.
Yeah, thank you for having me. I love coming on. This is always one of my favorite shows to do across all sports. To talk about Conn Smythe and stuff like that. Just a great market. But we'll be on Line Change, the Action Network's NHL podcast. And we have our big playoff preview coming out Sunday night. So it should be ready to go Monday morning with me and Nick Martin. We can talk more about this stuff and hopefully put some scratch in your pockets by the time the cup is awarded in June.
So, Nick, just to piggyback off what you said about Edmonton making the finals and beating Boston, you could get even better odds on that, plus 2,300. But again, I really like the idea of Dallas making a run to the cup final like they did in 2020 with this even better roster that they've equipped, right? Like, remember in 2020, what, Anton Khudobin was their goalie and they were riding on his shoulders? Like, Ottinger's five times the goalie that Khudobin was, with all due respect. So I think Dallas is very grizzled and capable of a deep run. Robertson pops off, you know, look for him to maybe lead a couple of his series in goals or points. And I feel like they could meet the Boston Bruins in the final. Boston just checks every single box for me. I love Edmonton. I love their chances of going back to the Western Conference final. But to me, this is a team of destiny. The Orlov edition, the Bertuzzi edition, they've added their grit and tenacity. They got the Zaka pickup in the offseason, which is one of the sneakiest moves in the whole league, really, this season. They got the balanced scoring more so than previous years. And I think that whether it's Pastrnak, Krejci came back for this. This is the time for Boston to finish the job here.
I would agree with you. So plus 370 around that price, you'll find Boston right now. I like the Edmonton price at plus 1,000. I was just going to throw out there some wild cards. The New Jersey Devils plus 1,100. I'm into that. You mentioned Dallas plus 1,500. And the team that's been the three consecutive Stanley Cup finals, we're going to continue to snore away just like producer Bob Bender does on a daily basis. Plus 1,700, the Tampa Bay Lightning, man. There's just so much pedigree, track record, resume in that room. You got the big cat Vasilevsky, you got Kucherov, point coming off 51 tucks this year. Massive sleeper at that value. I'm going to take a little bit of a peek, Pete Jensen.
I like the same, right? Run it on repeat from last year. At the very least in the first round, if the big five's healthy and they're underdogs, I mean, you got to look at that from a betting lens. You'd be ignorant if you didn't, almost, at this point, right?
Yeah, and just again, it's going to be a very interesting series, Toronto and Tampa. I just think there's way more value in the Lightning at plus 1,700 than you'll find with the Maple Leafs. Haven't won since 1967. A fact is a fact, so Leafs fans, don't come at me. But to have the third shortest odds to win the Stanley Cup, I just think there's more value in a team that's been there 3 years in a row. It's crazy to say that.
And I know we were talking about it with Mike, but do you have an upset, quick upset pick for the first round that's maybe your favorite upset, whether it's Winnipeg, Isles, or Florida, something like that?
Yeah, it's Winnipeg for me. You know this, I'm not a big time believer in the Vegas Golden Knights, and I believe greatly in Connor Hellebuck. I think goaltending is going to be a story for the worst in that series for Vegas and for a positive for the Winnipeg Jets.
I'm not trying to be a homer here, but I like the Isles over the Hurricanes. I have not liked what I've seen from Carolina down the stretch of the season. Without Pacioretty, without Svechnikov, the Isles have a better goalie and better center depth, whether or not Matthew Barzal plays, because of the addition of Bo Horvat. So thanks again to Mike for jumping on. From Mike, Nick Alberga. Also check out the NHL Fantasy on Ice podcast we dropped today with the playoff pool preview. Anna Dua and Jay Kahn from SiriusXM. That's a great listen as well. Things kick off here Monday, April 17th. Really excited for the Stanley Cup playoffs to begin. So for Nick, this is Pete Jensen. Thanks for listening to the NHL Action Network collab.